You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. David, I know we keep on saying it, but we're going to have to keep on saying it for another 8 or 9 days, another couple of programs. It's all about politics in the United States. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I'm becoming more and more infuriated and frustrated. And my teeth have been ground down because I'm gnashing them so much about the continuing mental decline of and fascist leanings of Donald Trump. And I do believe that he has gone that way. I don't know. Are you allowed to say this? I am. Maybe you can't.
I mean, I'm becoming deranged. You know, I need to find a psychologist or somebody that can calm me down, because as each day goes by, he becomes worse. And what is even worse than worse are the people that are following him. And, you know, it's almost as though these are Taylor Swift concerts. People get worked up, and these chaps who get on the stage think they're superstars. But it's the message, Lindsay, that they give out that is so scary. You know, this is America, and you would think that they would calm down, they would talk about policy, but it's just becoming vitriolic. It's becoming hate speech. Mm. It's and each day they try outdo the previous day, you know, in terms of what they say and how they insult people. And there's some big figures there. There's some very prominent people talking. And their soul, you know, if you look into their soul and you see what kind of people they are, I don't know if it's a country that you really want to live in.
No, I agree.
Certainly, you know what I mean? If this is what they represent, this is scary stuff, because there's nothing kind about the Republican Party, or certainly the people who are representing them. You know, there's nothing soft that you want to latch onto and say, oh, this is work, you know, I like this, or maybe I could vote for you. Not at all. It's just awful, awful, awful people.
I have a friend who owned two very successful travel agencies when the world had travel agencies and everything wasn't online. And she said, I drove from the Canadian border down to the southernmost tip of America, and it's the most beautiful country, and had so much fun. It took me 3-4 months, whatever it was, and I enjoyed myself enormously. But she said, I would never, ever go back to America now, because it is completely changed, and it's unrecognizable from 15, 20 years ago when she went on that trip. And I would agree with you. I don't want to go to America. I would find it scary if it was in the charge of Trump.
Oh, definitely. You know, and I mean, it doesn't matter. You know what? I think I mentioned to you, I've been reading books on the Civil War, and I get the feeling, you know, you're almost going back to Confederate type attitudes, you know, going back to the 1850s, 60s, when you had these secessionists, you know, who wanted to move away from the United States and for the Federate, you know, from the federal states. And their attitudes are very much the same, the planters, the people who, slave owners and so on. And it's the same attitude, you know, it's, I can imagine. I just think the next flag of the United States is going to be a Confederate flag.
Mm.
You know, you're not going to stand by the stars and stripes, because I'm not sure that there are a lot of certainly states that support what this man Trump stands for. You know, those are values that certainly weren't embedded in Washington and Jefferson and Lincoln and even some of the recent presidents. But sure. Anyway, we're going to get through it. I don't know how.
I would have voted for Reagan, for example. Okay, yeah. Reagan was a very charismatic man, and he surrounded himself with good people. He delegated very, very well. He wasn't the brightest he wasn't the most experienced politician, but he certainly knew how to run the country with his team around him. And he was a Republican, and I don't think if I lived in America, I'd be either Republican or Democrat. I would probably lean towards. Well, actually, I'd just lean towards the person who up for the presidency. But now the Republicans have The party's been destroyed by Trump completely. It's now a cult. It's not a party. And that, to me, is very, very dangerous. And what they're saying, what most people are saying, is if it's a very close race and if Trump loses, which sadly I don't think he will, but if he loses and it's very close, there's going to be an insurrection again. He's not going to accept it. It'll have to be a landslide for Harris-Waltz and for him to just go quietly. But if it's very close, then we've got problems, David.
Yeah, I imagine so. I don't know how this is going to end. Whatever. I think the worry as well is, and I don't know how to call this, is that if he takes all three levels, you know, whether it's the presidency, the Senate, and the House, you know, because they all come up. The talk is that the Senate could go to the Republicans and the Democrats could recapture the House. But you need some kind of circuit breaker, you know, to hold back this man, because I think it was yesterday in either the New York Times again. I think the editorial, yes, I think it was the editorial, where the biggest concern is be careful because he will do what he says, and they went through each one of the promises that he's made along the way, you know, and this is very concerning, you know, that he will do it because he's just such a vindictive, vicious person, and that he'll surround himself with the kind of people who are not going to stop him doing it. So
he's injecting fear into all sorts of stratas of society, David. I mean, look at Bezos, the owner of the Washington Post. For one of the few times in the Washington Post history, they are not going to, the newspaper is not going to get behind one particular party or one particular presidential candidate. And I think the reason is because Bezos is worried that he'll do something. If he, say, for example, endorsed Harris, Trump would be infuriated and do something to the Washington Post or whatever. Yes. And the same thing with the LA Times. The Los Angeles Times, for goodness sake, a liberal newspaper, is too scared to endorse Harris because of Trump. That's not a democracy. No. That's a dictatorship.
Yeah, I know. And remember Bezos, like Trump, like Musk, Bezos has got the space program that he needs endorsement. So I think there's also the fear that should he... Remember it happened as well with Bezos, with Amazon, where they lost a contract to Microsoft, or was it the other way around? I think, sure.
I don't remember. You know,
the cloud, yes. It was taken away from them. They lost it on probably political grounds. This was a few years ago. It was cloud in the early days. So I think there is the fear that there can be a political backlash if they haven't got the support. But that's mad that they should hold back like that. Anyway, we got
9 days
to get through it.
Actually, no, it's 8 days now, isn't it? Because it's tomorrow week that they start voting. We'll get the result probably 2 or 3 days later. But I can remember sitting around. I was in London at the time, and I remember sitting around watching at CNN. It was 24 hours a day when Biden beat Trump, and feeling ridiculously happy when he did. And I'm going to be doing the same again. I'm going to be a zombie for the next 10 days, David. Even more of a zombie, I mean. Anyway, how are the markets doing? Because AI is still troubling me somewhat. A lot of kids who have misused AI in the United Kingdom for exam purposes have been expelled from school and that sort of thing. So it's still in its early days, and it's still finding its feet, and people are yet to regulate it properly. But the stocks are doing well, aren't they? I mean, big tech earnings this week is a huge thing, isn't it? How many of the big stocks are reporting? I think it's five.
No, it's Alphabet. Yeah, it's Alphabet, Amazon,
Meta,
Microsoft, Meta. Yeah,
Apple.
The way that the market's responding, it's fairly positive, expecting good numbers. So there's little weakness in U.S. markets. I think our market here in South Africa has followed. I'm looking. Europe is a bit of a mixed bag. Hey? It's very difficult to read because they're there's certain stocks that are doing well, but I've seen continued pressure on ASML, continued pressure on Novo Nordisk. It might be that there's unwinding of positions because they've been very good performers the whole year, but I can't get my grip around around Europe. It's not holding up against the US. I think the one thing that I did read, there are a couple of themes, Lindsay. I've been, we're getting into that year end, or we're now November. Yeah. Sooner or later, I've got to do just talk to clients. You get a lot of meetings now, and you've got to have some kind of idea about where we're going. But the one theme that is very is interesting me is, and this is because I drove past this call center that's being built in Johannesburg on the way to the airport.
Oh, yes.
Out in Kempton Park or it's Isanda, sorry. Yes. In Isanda, it's a huge, huge building. I mean, massive. And I didn't know what it was, like 5 stories. There are no windows, only ventilators and so on. And, it perked up my imagination. I asked what it was, and they said, no, this is a call center. A data center. Apologies, a data center.
I was going to say, if there's no windows, those poor call operators that are sitting there. But anyway, a data center for whom? Center.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not sure who owns it, but it's massive. And when I looked at the amount of construction, what goes into it, of course, this is becoming a big theme because this is South Africa. Can you imagine around the world? So, When you go into what's required, it's not only the servers and the new chips, it's everything that connects it. It's the heating, it's the continual, it's the cooling, it's the energy required to drive it. So there's a massive infrastructure around that. It's difficult to find companies. There are a few companies that specialize in this, but there's nothing that stands out. But I mean, there are a lot of small businesses that, that will be associated with these, but it is a theme. And I think it's something that, we're looking more into. I think that, that the whole grid in America is still hasn't been upgraded from the 1960s or 70s. And with this huge demand of power now, there's a lot of, interest in utilities and companies like that, who provide power, maybe alternative power, alternate levels of power. So there's a lot in that. But the other story, Lindsay, and you've got to read it this week.
Okay.
Which is on The Economist, which is all about Ozempic and Wegovy and Montagero, whatever it is, the drugs. And they come out, The Economist comes out with their briefing and with their whole investigation into this in a very positive light, meaning that they call these wonder drugs, for the effects that they're going to have on society. Identifying, said, these are real. I'm giving a summary. I mean, these are real drugs and can have enormous impact on the way that we live, on lifestyle. For me, it's as
too late for you now, David.
Sorry?
It's too late for you. Your lifestyle is you eat well, you have a good social life, so your brain and your body are finely tuned, so you don't need to take I don't want you munching pills, please.
I've got the Alzheimer's side of it as well. They reckon that it could even go as I don't understand what the GLP blockers do and how they affect your body, but it's something that's going to grow, it's something that's going to continue. So it's still very much, even though we've been talking about it for a long time, there's still a lot of benefit left and a lot that's going to happen on the way that it affects people's lives. So, you've got these themes coming through still with the AI, with these drugs, with the infrastructure around data centers. So, and also rates coming down. We can't ignore rates coming down and the impact that's going to have on spending. It's being done into an environment of improving wealth. It's not, people are not, despite what Trump says, America is certainly not in trouble, and I don't think the world.
It's doing extremely well. I've got two things to bring up. I don't really want to look at the JSC today because, as I say, I'm so obsessed with American politics and world events. I mean, look at Japan this morning. The Japanese ruling party was trashed in elections, but the prime minister won't settle down, and we've got all sorts of things with North Korea and China and Russia getting together, and the BRICS summit. I mean, for goodness sake, BRICS was a mere whimsical phrase, which was coined by the Goldman Sachs chief economist. What was his name, O'Neil. David?
Jim O'Neil,
exactly. And now BRICS has become all sorts of other things. It's got Ethiopia in it. I mean, there's nothing against Ethiopia at all, but there's from five countries, it's gone to something like 15 or whatever. But that's an aside. Do you remember a few weeks ago I said to you, I sent you a message saying, have a look at the oil price. It was around about 76 at the time. Yes, and I said, I think it's going to fall in a heap. And immediately it did fall in a heap down to 69. Then it went back up again because of events in the Middle East. But today, David, it's down. Brent crude oil, as I speak, is down 5.4% to just below 72. Yeah. And I think it will continue to do so. I think that the oil price will come down, and that will free up money, will lower interest rates, will lower inflation, etc. And the other thing is, you talk enthusiastically about drugs that might help people like me. Do you invest in drug companies?
Do I?
Yes. Do you invest in them?
Yes. Or only the Novo Nordisk Eli Lilly.
Okay.
Why?
I'm just thinking because... Gosh, I know somebody at a well-known pharmaceutical company or a big pharma company, and they say the margins are extraordinary. And you can charge whatever you like, essentially, is what he said. And obviously he was talking out of turn, and he's not on the board of directors or anything, but it just seems to me that as more and more drugs come out, like the weight loss drugs, you know, it's because of human beings' narcissism. If you come up with something that will either extend your life or make you thinner or reduce your wrinkles, whatever it is, it's a license to print money. So I just wondered if that's also a big part of you and your clients' portfolios.
It's a difficult question to answer. It's difficult to you know why? Because you've got to measure that against... You know, they might say they're big margins, but you've got to measure it against the R&D that has gone into it.
Yes.
You know, can you imagine how much is wasted that never gives a return? So the danger, and I can't answer this, you know, this is something that we got to discuss and it's got to be exposed. The danger is that if you start to cut down the price of drugs, you cut down on R&D as well. And, you know, an enormous amount goes into it. I think you've got to get a drug expert, you know, somebody who really knows the inside, who works for Roche or who understands Novartis, who understands these places, you know, who can tell you exactly, you know, what kind of margins they make. The you know, if you look, to be honest, if they were licenses to print money, the Novartises, the AstraZenecas, those companies, Sanofis, and there are many of them, would be through the roof. You know, in other words, they haven't done well.
In other words, there must be some, for everyone that's a real a showstopper, or a blockbuster of a drug that captures everyone's imagination, there must be 10 that fail or don't sell as well. Yeah, I think you make a very good point about the R&D, yes.
Research and development. You know, there haven't been great returns. The only decent returns you've got are this year, have been through Eli Lilly. Even Novo Nordisk seems to be coming down steadily. I don't know what's troubling the market there. They had an incredible run, I think 2022 and 2023, but have been coming back despite the fact that they are leaders in Wegovy and the other one, Ozempic. So, I promise you, if you've invested in drugs companies, you haven't done, you know, you've been far outstripped by AI stocks, by the Microsofts, et cetera. They know we're close to that. Mm. I know as a long-suffering Novartis, I have got Novartis, I've had it for a long time, and AstraZeneca, I've done reasonably well, but they're not, you know, they're not blowouts.
I had a chat with, this is something that you is close to your heart because you, your first deal on the JSE all those years ago was a complete disaster. It was a gold company called Lorraine, I seem to remember. You completely stuffed up your first order and your father was furious with you. Well, he wasn't. He said, let that be a lesson to you, laddie. Gold, you know, if you have a look at how gold companies and the gold prices perform this year. Look at gold, 2742. It's more than 10 times the price that Gordon Brown, the Chancellor of the Exchequer of the UK, sold his last 5 tons or something of UK gold. Yeah. It's been extraordinary. It's something like 60%. Some of them are 60% up this year. So rivaling companies like Nvidia, but obviously a tiny, tiny market cap compared to the big tech companies, etc. But there are some things that have been doing well. And I'm very encouraged by my screen at the moment. Natural gas price is down 8.5%. And you know why? Because the forecast is for a mild northern hemisphere winter. Look at the temperatures in the United States of America, David. Record highs for this time of year. It's nearly November, for goodness sake. It's like 25 degrees. It's ridiculous.
I was there, you know, I'm only back a week or just over a week. And same thing in New York and Boston. Temperatures were superb. You know, you go there preparing for the worst and you go outside and it's pretty mild. I wasn't quite tempted to wear shorts, only running.
No, please don't wear shorts.
but it was that kind of weather. Yeah. It is. It's very mild, and you know, I talk to my daughter. We talk virtually every day, and the weather's been okay. Yeah, you get a bit nippy here and there, but it's certainly not cold. So,
okay. And what else?
But you're right. You know, you're dead right on that. Those oil prices, and I mean,
very important.
Against all the warnings that were given. And yes, it flares up every now and again when Israel drops some bombs and Iran retaliates and so on. But I mean, outside of that, you know, there's a little volatility, but I mean, the fact that it's down 5% today is astonishing.
You know what it is? It's because, okay, Israel had to respond. Netanyahu had to appease his right-wing cabinet colleagues by saying, right, we're going to hit Iran, and they hit Iran. But they hit a few weapons facilities, apparently. There was no civilian casualties, and there was apparently limited damage to property and installations. And the market said, thank goodness for that. And now the talk is conciliatory. So the oil prices immediately, they spiked up in the first couple of hours after the news that Israel was hitting Iran. They spiked up. And after that, they've fallen in a heap, which is very, very good news for the world economy, I think, David.
No, definitely. People want peace. You know, everybody's tired of it. I mean, even the Israelis, you know, the people that we talk to there, they're tired of it. Lindsay, their sons and their daughters, I mean, you know, literally their sons and daughters are all involved. They go off into Lebanon. You cannot believe the stress, you know, that these people are living under. I'm not saying it's any different for the Palestinians or the Lebanese, but people are tired of it. You know, they want resolution. And likewise, you know, we want this to end and no one's benefited. Just think, 1 year later, where's the benefit? And I think even the protesters are getting tired of protesting, you know, both sides. It's enough already. I think we want to get on and not to make it a situation anymore.
One day, David, one day, maybe not in our lifetime, but one day, it's like a couple of gangs in a schoolyard, you know, eventually they say, you know, we're fed up with beating each other up at lunchtime in the yard, you know, let's just lay down our fists and our weapons and let's just get on with it. Whoever gets the contract to rebuild Gaza, should it ever happen, goodness me, then there's a bonanza. Gosh, they've decimated that place. David, Erik ten Hag, I'm about to watch, when is Halloween? What is the date today?
31st.
31st, so in 3 days' time. Now, my favourite Halloween film is E.T., obviously. So I'm going to be watching E.T. Now, whenever I see Eric Ten Hag, I think of E.T. because of the shape of his head. Now, he's just been sacked as manager of Manchester United, and not before time. A billion pounds later, and I think they're sitting 12th in the Premiership, and barely struggling, barely hanging on in the Europa League or whatever the league is that they're in there. He was rubbish. He was simply awful. He was uninspiring. And every game he says, well, we lost but this, but that, and but the other, and but the ref, etc. No, it was long overdue.
I think so.
I don't know who they're going to get, though.
For yesterday, because Man United should have won like 10-1 or something. I mean, some of the goals that were missed, like Delio, he had an open goal. All he had to do was just push the ball. He managed not only to get it over the bar, but over the upright as well. Just absolute mess. And I think that was just what the game was like. And I think if you're a Man United fan, and there are many people out there, to actually watch them suffering every game must be torture.
The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.